Welcome to Radio Rehab. I'm Dana. If this is your first time listening, this is a show about addiction and recovery by addicts, for addicts and their families, or anyone who knows an addict. This week on the show, my guest is Joe Klosik. This is the last of three episodes, so if you missed the previous two, go back and check them out. On today's episodes, we talk about Joe's upcoming classes that he's going to teach at the Punchline here in San Francisco, and we talk about one of my favorite comedians of all time, Mitch Hedberg, who was definitely one of us because he died of an overdose, and it's fascinating to actually get to talk to somebody who knew Mitch Hedberg. Check it out.
Welcome to Radio Rehab.
Here's your host, Dana Keyes.
Apart from the Reimagine, you said you're going to be teaching a class. Is that going to be at the Punchline?
So Punchline, I mean, again, it's my second home. I love that place. The staff there, most of the staff has been there for a while. Molly, who worked her way up from door girl to now booking manager of all of the clubs, she's amazing. She's probably stand-up comedy's biggest unsung hero because she has mothered a lot of talent on to huge success in some cases, and then locally she still cares. So she asked me if I would be interested in teaching a couple of classes. One is, how do you tell a story? How do you structure a story from beginning, middle, and end for 10 minutes? How do you put that together? And you would think, oh, that's pretty easy. And mostly it is, but that satisfying ending can be very elusive. So I'm going to teach a class on that. That is Sunday, November 17th at 3:00.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next Sunday, I think that's the 27th, it's going to be riffing, crowd work, improv, which sounds kind of funny. We're like, well, how do you teach something that you have to improvise? And it's basically, it's the skills that you need to have to do that, to feel comfortable. It's one of the things that I loved doing and I still love to do as a comedian is talk to the crowd. And the crowd, I think, digs it because they can tell, hey, this is a tightrope act. You know, we don't know where this guy's going, and if he makes it, that's kind of cool. And they also know at the end of the show, that show was theirs. It can't ever be replicated that same way again. You know, you're not going to have the same people ever in this room again in some circumstances. And I've had people come up to me years later, like, hey, I saw you at this club, and you were talking to my girlfriend, and oh, man, we bring it up all the time. It's like, that is all. I have no memory of it.
Right, right.
But it's cool to know that I'm, you know, coming up in people's lives every now and again, like, oh, remember that night, the comic? And I think talking to the audience is not about insulting. Because a lot of people have that idea like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make fun of that guy's shirt or that guy.
Yeah, that always, I'm like,
yeah,
that's,
it's not really, it's just like talking to them and working it into your act and having fun with the spontaneity of it. And yeah, you got to deal with hecklers and you got to deal with people yelling stuff out. But how do you stay likable and handle that? So that's what the other class is about.
Well, because I've heard really famous comics on stage, like I'll be listening to their set on like some Sirius XM channel or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'll hear the guy's telling a story, you know, like Kevin Pollak, for example, like he's great. And he's doing this great set. And then some guy yells something. He acts like it didn't happen. I'm like, this is scripted. He doesn't know how to deal with that.
Well, I mean, I make a choice sometimes in my head, like, you know what? 98% of the audience is digging what I'm doing. I'm enjoying the material that I'm putting out. I'm going to ignore it and just keep going ahead. Sometimes you have no choice. You know, but rarely is the heckler mean. Rarely.
Right.
Like maybe 10% of the time the person is really drunk.
It's always
a really drunk guy that thinks he's going to be funny.
Right.
And after the show will come up to you and go, hey, man, I was just trying to help. Like, actually, I work alone. Thank you.
Yeah.
I've got this covered, you know. But it'll throw comics sometimes when somebody yells something because they're in the middle of something and you don't want to. You don't want to become a deer in headlights because then the audience looks at you like, you don't know what to do? Come on.
Yeah,
you're the
right?
Comic. Like,
yeah.
Isn't this what your job is? And so, yeah, there's some skills that you can train yourself in how to deal with. And that's been like one of the, if you go on YouTube and look me up, I'm probably, my biggest YouTube clip is me and a heckler. And I brought, I brought him on stage because he was like, I want to come up there. And I figured, you know what? Why not? Why not? Let's see where this goes. And I don't think he'll ever do it again.
You'll never do that again?
He'll never do it again.
Oh, he'll never do it again.
Yeah, but it was actually, it ended up being really, really fun. I didn't have a camera. Another guy who was recording the show had the presence of mind to leave the camera on. And as a result of that, I think that's gotten me more bookings than almost anything else I've ever put on tape.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see this. So wait, you just Googled
Joe Klosek on a heckler.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because one of my favorite things used to be Mitch Hedberg and heckler.
Oh,
like,
hell.
He was so good.
I opened for him a bunch of times.
You
back
did?
In the day. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Really interesting guy.
Yeah.
But also very much one of us.
So one of us.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, yeah, and he was just like such a nice guy and so open, like, because I know a girl who was like a runner for one of the comedy clubs and picked him up, and he was just talking in the backseat about how he had like an open abscess in his leg.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I tell you, when he died, that caused a lot of conversations in the world of stand-up comedy because it was first of all, everybody knew that he was a profound drug user, but he was making a lot of people a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So they enabled him. And they kept, you know, the biggest thing that I can tell you that I know for a fact that happened is he was on tour, a Comedy Central tour with, who was it? A couple big names at the time. Dave Attell was one of them. Louis Black was another of them. And it was Mitch Hedberg. And so Comedy Central, looking at Hedberg and seeing what was going on and looking into the future and going, man, this guy's going to kill himself, they just took his name off of all the publicity. That was their way of dealing with it.
Oh my God.
They didn't pull him aside and say, man, we love you and you're immensely talented, but if you don't get help, you're going to die. They were just like, we don't want to be associated with the eventual train wreck we see coming.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But when he died, a lot of people had a lot of conversations about how fame and how the industry enables people.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember arguing with Molly at the Punchline online after she had told me don't come. And I'm like, you let Mitch Hedberg on stage and you know, later on she's like, oh my God, dude, you are arguing my point. Like, that's why we didn't let you in anymore, because we didn't want you to go down that path.
Because they learned.
Because they learned. And I'm like, oh, so I'm actually, okay, I got it.
Right. Because I mean, the things that were co-signed with Mitch Hedberg, like, I mean, one of my favorite lines of his where he goes, I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if I said that, I imagine saying that to my family, they would cry because they know what my end looked like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I say that to a bunch of people that I don't know me, they're going to laugh because it's funny.
It's funny. And, you know, the sad thing is I got to open for him a few times, and I remember opening for him at the Sacramento Punchline, and he was so drunk on stage, he couldn't do his full set, and he literally fell off stage. Literally fell off stage. And the crowd was clapping and cheering and still sending him drinks because, you know, the mentality was like, hey, he's our puppet, you know, and yes, these people loved him, but they didn't understand they were also aiding in his destruction. And even the club was like, we probably shouldn't allow that anymore. That should probably not continue. And that was close to the end for him.
Yeah.
But that was a huge wake up call for people.
Right. Yeah. Cause I know it's just totally, I mean, and like with music and with comedy, it's totally, and I mean, it's like, especially when you're doing something like stand up comedy, I mean, to me, that looks like the scariest thing in the world. That and speaking at a meeting. You know what I mean? Cause you're really bearing your soul. You can play music, you can pretend to be somebody else. Like, I could do a movie, I'm playing somebody else. It's like, I'm on the radio, nobody can see me. But comedy and speaking at a meeting, I think, are like the hardest things in the world.
Yeah, but they're highs.
That's true.
That's definitely true.
When I give a great share, I'm like sweating and I feel great. That's true. I didn't think about it like that because I was thinking, God, it must be such a big thing. Like, oh, how am I not going to calm my nerves? You know what I mean? But then again, it's like when I speak in a meeting, I'm not like, oh, I need a drink to calm my nerves.
Well, that is still when I'm most in my zone of temptation is after a show.
Right
after, especially like, oh man, that was so killer. That was so much fun. The audience was right on the same wavelength, and I just smashed with everything. My new stuff worked. Oh, there's no way I'm going to sleep. You know, I'm up on that adrenaline high, and like, oh, I want to just keep this going.
Yeah.
And it would be so easy to go back to the bar and like, hey, can I get some vodka?
Yeah.
You know, and I know, though, that I can't do that.
Right.
I know. I mean, even in that moment, it is super attractive, but I do, you know, as much as people might roll their eyeballs, I play the tape all the way through in my head, like, what would happen right now, Joe? You know, you'd get drunk, you'd feel bad, you might not show up tomorrow. If you did show up, you're going to feel really crappy, you're not going to have a good show. Not having a good show means you're going to need more vodka, you know, because that whole spiral begins. And I remember early on as a comic, I learned really fast, if you had a great show, people wanted to buy you a drink. If you had a bad show, people wanted to buy you a drink. Like, you couldn't lose, you know? It's like, good or bad, I'm drinking for free.
Right. And now that you talk about it on stage, obviously, like, nobody's going to do that.
Well, you'd still be surprised. People will still come up, you know, and like, hey, yeah, you were really good, man. Can I buy you a drink? I'm like, did you
hear what I said?
Did you not see that whole no, 5-minute chunk about I don't drink anymore and here's why? Like, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, you want to smoke pot? Like, no, man, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for offering me everything. But yeah, I'm good.
So you're going to tell people, like, I've heard Chris Rock talk about this, like, it's the premise. Like, I don't even know what that means, but you're going to teach people about that and the story? Because, like, when you said, like, the 10-minute story, is that what comedy, is that, like, pretty much what a stand-up
thing
is?
Yes and no. I would differentiate their solo performance, right? Like a one-man show, one-woman show, where it's just a person on stage doing a lot of characters. It's very theatrical. You've got lighting cues and sound cues, and that is the height of working by yourself in front of an audience. And then I think a little lesser on that scale is storytelling. And storytelling is, it's not all about being funny. It's about, hey, here's the story that happened to me. There's parts in it that are really funny. There's parts in it that are really sad, but it's one complete story. You know, there's ups and downs in it, and hopefully it has a very satisfying end. And then stand-up comedy is, you know, it's like short attention span theater. You've got all these little jokes, you know, the setup punch, setup punch, setup punch, and you're just doing those, you know, and you've grouped them all together, you know, and if you're doing a headline set, it's like 45 minutes of all of that.
God.
So the premise is, you know, the setup. You know, what is funny about this situation that occurred? With storytelling, what I'm going to be teaching, it's about, okay, you've had this event that's happened to you in your life. How do you condense it, properly edit it, and make sure you end on a satisfying note? Because I'm sure you've encountered this in the rooms, you know, some people have an incredible story.
Yeah.
They can't tell it.
Yes.
You know, they're just bad storytellers.
Right.
It's like, man, you have such an incredible story. If you could figure out how to weave that together. And so that's what this class will be about, storytelling, is how do you weave it together? How do you edit the stuff that doesn't need to be there? Like, so many people will start telling you a story, and they'll either go,
they're telling
oh,
you what color the skirt yeah, was and how the freeway they
to
took.
That.
Oh, God.
And then they get 10 minutes into the story, and now it's like, oh, and then that was it. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
All of that for that ending? Like, no, come on. Work backwards. Tell, you know, figure out what that ending is, and then what do I need in front of that ending to make it make sense. And yeah, sometimes people are just like, yeah, I know this incredible thing happened to me. I just don't know how to tell it. So this is just, yeah, weaving together all those bits for a nice, coherent story.
That's awesome. That's a great thing to teach.
Yeah, hopefully.
I know. I want to, like, I have a bunch of guests that I'd like to have on the show. I'd like to send them to your class first.
Send them on down. Send them to the punchline.
I've had
website.
That happen a lot where I'm like, you're taking a lot of detours in this story, you know? Like, but yeah, yeah. So what, you said that was November 17th, or did I make that up?
No. November 17th is correct. It's Sunday, 3:00. It's 3 hours long. It's $45.
Right on. Well, that's a great deal for that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
What's your website? Where can people find you?
You know what? They can look me up on Facebook.
Okay.
Klocek, Klocek, or Stand Up Joe, which is Twitter and Instagram.
Stand Up Joe?
And YouTube, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, thank you so much for being on Radio Rehab.
Thanks for having me. This was fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this was awesome. And I'll see you at The Punchline next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Can't wait.
That's right. Me too. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, like, share, rate. We need all the help we can get. Special thanks to Joe Klocek for being on the show. You can see him next week on Tuesday at The Punchline as part of Reimagine End of Life. You can also see my storytelling show as part of Reimagine End of Life, which is happening Friday, November 1st at 7 p.m. at Expression College in Emeryville. If you'd like to contact us, it's Radio Rehab at GoToProductions.com. On all the socials, it's at Radio Rehab Dana. Next week on the show, we've got Jack Grisham from TSOL. Thanks for listening. Keep coming back.